Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Matthew 25 verses 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward there came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. In Matthew 24 and verse 3, the disciples had asked Jesus, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? In chapters 24 and 25, Jesus first explains the coming destruction of the city of Jerusalem, which took place in A.D. 70 at the hands of the Romans, and he also answers questions concerning the end of the world at his final coming. And in answer to these last things, he teaches a lesson on the need to be watchful, which is an oft-repeated New Testament admonition. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour your Lord doth come. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. The parable of the 10 virgins is just such a teaching, stressing watchfulness and preparedness. It helps to understand this teaching to observe some of the marriage customs at that time. The bridegroom, with his friends, would go to the house of the bride to take her to her new home. She is accompanied by her friends, and they all return together to the wedding feast. All others waited near the groom's home to welcome the bride and the groom and to join the marriage procession and enter into the feast. In this parable were 10 virgins who were among those who were waiting for the procession near the home of the bridegroom and expecting to enter the door into the feast. The feast was usually after darkness had settled, hence the lamps and the torches, and the need for oil for the lamps. Now let us analyze this parable. Then refers to the coming of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is the church. Jesus used the terms church and kingdom interchangeably when he promised to build his church and to give the apostles the keys of the kingdom. Colossians 1 and verse 13 depicts those who leave the power of darkness of sin and enter into the kingdom as coming into the company of the saved and into the church. The bridegroom is Christ. John pictured Jesus as the bridegroom and himself as a friend of the bridegroom in John 3 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 5 presents Christ as the husband of the bride, which is the church. The coming of the bridegroom is the final coming of the Lord. The 10 virgins are different kinds of church members. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul pictures the church as a pure virgin. This denotes the purity of the Christian doctrine and the character of the church. The virgins are those who had received and had accepted the invitation to the wedding feast. They were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And the oil represents the necessary preparation to enter into the procession that enters into the prepared feast. Now, as we said, the bridegroom is Christ. Christ came to this earth, but he ascended having fulfilled his mission. But before he left reassuring words. In John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Notice the emphasis. He said he will come again. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, the uncertainty of when he is going to come does not in any way shake our confidence in the fact that he will come. In Mark chapter 13, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Now Peter wrote, "But the day of the Lord will come." And he said, "As a thief in the night." That means he will come unannounced. But he will come. Hence the necessity of being ready for him whenever he does come. Now in the parable, the bridegroom tarried. He did not come when many thought that he would. And this contributed to the negligence of some in being watchful and ready when he finally did appear. Peter writes about some who would scoff at the promise of his coming because he did not come when they thought he would and when they thought he ought. Peter persuaded that God does not count time like men do, but God is not slack concerning his promise. And he also emphasized the certainty that Christ will return. The tarrying of the Lord caused some problems among the brethren in Thessalonica regarding the coming of Christ, and it aroused their concern for those faithful who had already died. Paul wrote to them to ease their concern regarding the faithful dead in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he stressed the certainty of his coming, but at an unspecified time, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-6. How long the Lord shall tarry before he comes again, we are not privileged to know, nor can know. The virgins are those who had been invited to the wedding feast. They had accepted the invitation. They were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. They are like members of the church, those that compose the kingdom of heaven. Now there was a difference respecting these virgins because some were wise and others were foolish. The difference was in their preparation and in their readiness. Some had provided sufficient preparation and were watchful. Others had not provided as they ought, having only what they thought might get them by. They are much like the foolish that Jesus mentions in the close of the Sermon on the Mount. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Matthew 7, 24-27. These virgins are not unconverted people, but rather they are members of the Lord's church, the kingdom. They had received the invitation. They had accepted it. They made some preparation. They thought they had done enough. They are like those today who hear the gospel. They are convinced they are lost. They believe in Christ. They publicly confess Christ. They have repented of their sins. They are baptized. but that's about as far as they go. They grow weary in well-doing. In fact, they don't grow very much at all. They do not make preparation that is commanded. They carry as little oil with them as they can. They do as little as they think will suffice. They are satisfied with soothing their conscience, but not really serving. They are the kind of folk who worship only 1 hour a week, and not always regularly and faithfully at that. They are seldom among the workers. They give but a token amount, and that reluctantly. They never assume responsibilities and would be the last people in the congregation upon whom anybody could depend to get anything done. They are careless, indifferent. They do not study at home. They don't study in the classes. They are unwilling to cooperate and even arrogant and defiant if called upon. Really, they're not making much effort at all toward spiritual growth and development. And like the foolish virgins, they have made some preparation, but surely not as they ought. They evidently have the idea that going to heaven is sealed with baptism. They, like Peter, they follow Christ, but afar off. They don't want to be too identified with him, but just enough to make them feel good. They will neglect the sick and the needy and the lost. Well, they just don't have much oil. The bridegroom came at midnight, later than expected. When Christ comes, or when death overtakes us, whichever is first, our time for preparation will be over. He will come at a time which is compared to the time of Noah. Matthew 24 says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." The virgins rose to trim their lamps and to get them burning brightly to meet the bridegroom and to join the joyful procession into the prepared feast. The time was too late to prepare. The time was now upon them. The foolish virgins realized their lack of preparation. They asked for assistance, but the time had passed. Help could not be given. There are some things, friend, that one must do for himself and nobody can do for him, and making preparation for the coming of Christ is one of those things. The day of mercy is now. When the Lord comes, the opportunity to receive His mercy will have passed. The door is shut. This stresses the finality at the end. The foolish virgins were not prepared and were not allowed entrance. And how did they plead? Oh, they pled so much to be allowed to enter. But it was too late. They had good intentions, but they just neglected to make preparation. Dear listening friend, the day is coming when the door that now stands ajar will be shut, never to be reopened. Those who have entered into the feast of the Lord shall never have to depart from it. But those who have not entered shall never enter. The foolish, the careless, the hypocritical, the unfaithful, the lukewarm, the indifferent, the half-hearted, the haphazard, the unprepared member of the church. This is who is being considered in this parable, and they will be banned. From this it is easy to see, is it not? Our love for Christ must be that we be prepared and waiting for the hour of His coming. Ephesians 5 and 16 says we must redeem the time. That means we must take advantage of the life and the mind and the opportunity that we have. All these things can be taken away at a moment. And they eventually and certainly will be taken away at some time. You see, these foolish virgins, they were much like what was said to Belshazzar, recorded in Daniel 5 and verse 25, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting." Dear listener, could that be the case with any of us? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.